But one of the things that as an actor that I've realized is roles that might be open to me now would never have been open to me 20 years ago. What they would be, because one of the realities of acting is your physicality and how you look, how you sound, and that limits you and opens up roles for you. So a dream role would be a lead role in a comedy, in some series somewhere, a play that was done at Austin's about 4 years ago, I believe. It was called Young Austin's.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the father, Botania Maria de los Dos. And it was with three other students. And the role itself, and it spoke to me in a way that other roles haven't talked to me at the time. But it was one of the last, well, actually was, no, it wasn't, it was one of the last plays that I've done in a couple of years. And that's the play that Professor Morales directed, and actually was written by a graduate of Hostos Community College. So it was very special. It was wonderfully written. And the role itself just resounded with me. It was perfect for me at the time, and I enjoyed it. And it was, I knew who this man was in a way that other roles I didn't know. I wasn't as in tune with the character as I was with this one. I think that I would like to be remembered for my humanity. I'm a people person, always have been, and I enjoy being with people, working with people, listening to people. I think that was an easy aspect for me to grasp as an actor. One of the skills that's very important is to be a good listener. And that always has come natural to me. And I enjoy listening to people, supporting people in my work, whether it was with students as a professor or administrator working with staff. It was always about them and working with them, supporting them in things that we needed to make the work successful. And as a result, in that regard, I feel I've been very successful in all those positions, because it was never me alone. It was always me and the people that I worked with. Have a second career in your back pocket. I mean that seriously. You know, if until you break into the business, and you can always, you know, you find something that you can make a living at, because you don't want to stress yourself out. And something that you can, when you are out there auditioning, that you have a sense of peace of mind, in the sense that if you're auditioning for a position, it's very difficult to audition for something knowing that this is can mean your next meal, which is the case with many actors. And at least for me, I would go into auditions, obviously loving to get it, but if I didn't get it, that's fine. And I was able to focus just on the audition itself. And there are some actors, you know, that are out there that that's all they do, and they really have very tight budget. And they're happy. At the end of the day, it's how are you going to be happy? And I think a little bit of security always helps us achieving that. So my advice is, you know, make sure to try to have training and a skill, whether it's carpentry, whether it's dental hygiene, whether it's teaching. It's a great occupation in the sense that you have many hours that you can go off and do a play, go to auditions. So it gives you the greater amount of flexibility. So that's just sort of, and also not forget the business part of showbiz. As I talked about before, that Diane was so instrumental in conveying that to me. What I mean by that is, I've seen actors that were not getting out, sending their resumes out, their headshots, even if they had an agent, you know, pushing the agent. And I'm talking about, you know, folks like me that I had to work for the positions, never reached the level that I could sit in my home and at least once or twice a year the phone rings and I have a job or I have a great call for an interview or somebody writes a film or a play with me in mind. It does, you know, I never reached that level, and there are not many actors that have that level, but there are a few. But the vast majority of actors are struggling actors that are struggling in making a living out of the profession. The ones that we see and we're very familiar with who are very wealthy, or even not necessarily very wealthy, but can actually make a good, solid living out of this and not have to worry about where their next paycheck or meal is going to come from. That's the vast majority of actors, and we do it because we love it. But I think someone going into this, a young actor who has aspirations of being an actor, is, I guess, two things. Make sure that you have other skills that you enjoy, that you can make a living from, and also really remember that this is a job that you have to work very hard at, whether it's promoting yourself and the acting itself. You're going to love it. That's just going to happen, whether it's doing scene class or being in a show, doing a movie. That's why we do. Well, there are two things. It's how you approach the audition. One of the things that I have found is that casting agents, most of the time, you know, casting directors don't really, they know, they have a sense, they have the script, they have the character, but they really don't know what they're looking for. So as an actor, and that means it could be anybody walking through that door, you have to, and it's what you bring to it. And there are things that, there are a lot of talented actors. So early on, let me back up. Early on was great disappointment. But then I realized it's, and as an actor, you know when you've given a good audition. And basically, a good audition is, as an actor, you know when you were really in that moment, you were really in that character. So that's good. You know, as an actor, I gave it my all. And then, you know, then later on in my career, I actually enjoyed auditions. And to me, it wasn't the feeling, the happiness didn't come. Well, obviously, if I got the role, I was ecstatic, of course. But the part of the audition that I enjoyed the most was if I felt that, wow, that was a great audition for me. I was good. For me, I was good. And that gave me tremendous pleasure. So, and if you don't enjoy auditions, then, you know, as an actor, you're in trouble. And I enjoyed it. And if the audition was good, and I knew that, and what is being good means is that basically as an actor, I was in the character. And I responded to things as they were happening. I was living. That's a good audition. Now, I didn't personalize it. And there's nothing more that we as actors can do. That's it. So if I did that, I was satisfied. If I got the job, I was ecstatic. And the job doesn't mean that I was bad. If I didn't get it, it didn't mean that I was bad. It means I wasn't what they were looking for. And also understanding that I can't go in thinking, what are they looking? That's the worst mistake an actor can say. Okay, what is the casting director looking for? Oh, that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. Because then you're not going to put in and give a good audition. Like I said, I think half the time at my level and in the auditions I went into, casting directors weren't really clear in terms of what they want. They only saw what they wanted if you gave your all, and by chance they said, oh, that's the character that I'm looking for. So they're exploring as well. So it has to be a match. That the first thing you have to do is give the best audition of your life each and every time. And then if it connects to what the casting director is looking for, then you have the role. And it's never a competition, because there's a lot of talent out there. And the only ones that the layperson sort of, and I think that's part of this project, this legacy project, is to have our stories heard, because there's tons of talent out there, whether it's acting, writers, painters, musicians. They're just talented people there. And it's, you know, part of it is timing. And that you can say is true of any profession in any part, in anything that we do. You do what you do well. And there's some individuals that are there at the right time, you move on to the next level. 1998 was reviving a number of the old American TV series. And one of them was Solo in America, which I think was One Day at a Time. And they were doing it in Spanish, same script, but translated to Spanish. Anyway, the role that I had gone to audition, it's sort of a funny story, role that I was coming in to audition for was that of a clown. And I was gonna be in full clown regalia. So I walk into I'm in the waiting area, and there's this actor who's sitting there waiting to go in. I look at him, and his physicality was a clown. I mean that in a positive sense. He was, you know, a little overweight, and he smiled. He had a face that you look at him and you chuckle. I mean, and I said to myself, that's his role. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, it was fine. But I learned a great lesson, because I was convinced, totally convinced, there's no way that I can compete with this guy. So I had a script. So I went off script. I went in there literally acting like a clown. I was whistling like Groucho Marx, Harpo Marx, if you ever saw the Marx Brothers films, that he's the silent one. He whistled, then I ran around, I jumped up on the desk, I said hello, and then I did a bunch of, this is just walking into the casting office. And great fun. Everybody laughed, everybody had a ball. I felt great, I had a ball. And that was it. I was convinced it was not my, it just wasn't. And I got the call that I got the job. So you can imagine how I felt. But it was also a great lesson. Every time, whether even a callback, you get one, two, or three callbacks. And each time, it's sort of like you got the callback. I'm closer, closer, closer. Or they just call you after the first audition. And each time they say, you've got it, think of yourself. And that is the good part. This is the downside on this in terms of the profession is that you're going on job interviews consistently. But if you can just recall, you go on a job interview, you get the call that you have the job, you're exhilarated. So on the one hand, you get a job, and in your case, you'll have a job for many years. So you won't have that exhilaration. You have the security of it, but you won't have the sense of achievement that you get repeatedly every time you're told you got the role. Like everything else, it was look, delivery, and it matched up. The episode in Law and Order, I actually read for the owner of a nightclub at the time. And the scene was that, the detectives came and whatever, I don't recall, they came in, they were basically interviewing me to get information about how to solve this murder case. So that's the role that I had auditioned for to upgrade. And then I got a call a couple days later that I'd gotten the part, not that part, but the part of a detective that discovers the body. And this is what I mean, what are they looking for? And in my eyes at the time, I sort of would, I don't know if I was admitted for the detectives. I don't know if I would have auditioned for it. But in the casting people's eyes, I came in, I must have given good reading. And then they said, nah, but he looks more like a detective than a nightclub owner. Or maybe it was the guy that they had for the nightclubs. Oh no, he looks more like a nightclub owner. So the physicality has a role in all this that one never knows, what they're looking for. There was a moment that there's bad news about the patient, and the camera, captured a couple of them. I reacted, as a doctor, and very real, and the name was internally. And the two other pros who were part of the show all the time, I chuckled. They had this, facial reaction, like, oh. Yeah, and I thought it was over the top, but they got more camera time on that episode that I'll never forgive myself. Most of the monologues that you do, whatever it calls for, you're talking to your audience. Okay. And even there, it's hard. I mean, when I've had to do monologues, like on stage where the lights are on you, and who am I talking to? Imaginary person, and you can't see the audience, that's hard. But if you're in class and you're doing a monologue, you're really talking to the audience. And the key to that is also let them feed you. And it could be anything. Somebody laughs at something that wasn't supposed to be funny. What is? How does that make you feel? And internalizing that puts you in the moment, in reality. Somebody's cell phone that goes off, does that irritate you? Don't ignore it. You're not going to point out that the person put down the cell phone, but whatever the reaction is, if it stunned you, it annoyed you, just the sound of it, and that in character, let that little annoyance, you know, is in the back of the audience, you know, just above their heads. So you're looking at them from a distance, but you're not ignoring the audience, because you got to bring them. This is what it's about. It's you're not there for yourself. You're there for the audience. So you have to bring them in any way that you can to make them feel a part